Okay, let's get started this morning, and just going to get one verse of scripture out. Ephesians 5, 15 through 17, and in particular, if you have an ESV translation, anybody have an ESV? That's where I'm reading from. Devin, if you'll get that for us. Ephesians 5, 15 through 17, okay. We've been going over preaching strategy. My last couple of lessons, we talked in the first lesson about preaching volume, the three different volume changes when you are preaching an altar call. We talked about the mechanics of an altar call, kind of, you know, what helps it flow linearly, what helps you arrange your thoughts. Illustration, application, declaration, that's the gospel, and then the appeal. Then my next lesson was on preparation, how a man prepares in advance for his altar call, the spiritual factors apart from the practical ones. So today we're going to look at special events, altar call preaching. There are many types of events that we do. So there isn't, when it comes to altar call preaching, a one size fits all. It's a one size fits most. But there's some principles that would still remain when it comes to arranging or organizing for your altar call at a special event. So with that, let's read Ephesians 5, 15 through 17.
Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is.
Okay, so special events preaching. This is our 180 preaching lesson number 3. So let's talk about preaching wisdom. Our passage encourages us to think. It says in our main verse there, number 1, it says, look carefully. In other words, if you are going to think about your altar call, you need to observe, think about in advance, and even in the moment, see what is going on or what is going to happen. And you have to think in that, how do I connect the gospel message? How do I introduce an altar call naturally and organically? It has to flow. I mean, sometimes it can be really just like, wait, what are we doing now? We were doing this, and now all of a sudden this guy's preaching. And in the confusion of it, them trying to wrap their mind around what is happening, you can lose maybe their tracking with you, even if it was a well-prepared altar call. You can lose people just because this is not what I came for. But when it's done naturally and organically throughout the course of your event and strategically placed, look carefully, you can work it out to where you're going to have the effects or the results that you want. I remember when we did a police appreciation in New York, and just bringing in the gospel, where do we put that? How do we do this? We want to honor, you know, so organize the course of the events to where when the disciple leading it started to preach and pulled an altar call, it had already flowed with everything that was going on, and it just felt right. And people responded, people got saved. I remember when did one of the basketball tournaments here, and just talking to one of the guys that was leading it and asking him a question. So where are you going to do your altar call? What are you thinking? And yeah, I guess at the final game, that's what has always been done. But I said, okay, but how has that worked out? Well, you know, it's usually just the last two teams. Everyone else has dipped out. People are trying. I said, do an opening ceremony. Oh, you have every team there. Sing the Pledge of Allegiance. Make this a huge deal. Make it big. And then in that opening ceremony, you can do your altar call. So look carefully. Observe. see what's going on, see what's going to happen, think, how do I connect this? Secondly, in the idea here of our preaching wisdom, our passage says, be wise. Look carefully and be wise. In other words, consider your audience. In your altar call, who are you going to be preaching to? Because who you're preaching to can impact or influence how you preach. And so an altar call at a haunted house is going to look different, preach different, connect different than an altar call at a family fun day, or at a movie outreach, or at a block party that we do, all the different events we do. Like I said, it's not a one-size-fits-all. And sometimes that's the danger. Guys go, wait, I follow the mechanics. I had illustration, application, declaration, and appeal. I had the algorithm. I did the voice. I had the volumes. But you weren't considering your audience. You preached at a haunted house 2 weeks before, and now you're preaching at a family fun day, and those are not the same, right? Those are very different audiences, and so how you speak and who you're speaking to, you have to consider those things. Think it through. Thirdly, make the best use of the time. This is, again, in preaching wisdom, our passage uses that phrase. Make the best use of the time. You got to think, what are the crowd dynamics? How long can you hold their attention? We used to do a play, and we did it a couple times here also, but throughout New York and in the Northeast, titled The Super Fairy Tale. And you know what happened with that is I would caution the pastor, or if we took it out of town, or my own disciples, I would caution them. Because we want revival. This is what we say. We want revival. We want God to move. We want families. We want young couples and young families to come out. And so in a super fairy tale audience, you get exactly that. We would have groups of hundreds of people with kids that are unchurched and many undisciplined. And half of them were church people's kids, but they come in, right? And you get to the altar call. We've just made a huge thing of this. We had balloon artistry and face painting, and they've just watched their favorite characters on the stage. They're excited. But we bring that moment where we've aimed for the heart, and there's this altar call moment. And I would caution them and say, you have a narrow window of time. You cannot get frustrated at the noise, the ambience that's happening there. You know, we did balloon artistry, so you can't get annoyed with the all the little, you know, balloon artistry balloons that the kids are still playing with, the pops that happen randomly. You've got to cut through it, be short, concise, get to the point, pull the altar call, call for hands, pray with them as a mass prayer. And guys, you could tell the ones that they'd get frustrated, and then their preaching would get frustrated. What I'm talking about is serious right now. Yeah, it is. But look at your audience. Look at the crowd dynamics. In a haunted house, I've cautioned disciples every single time, because I remember going through haunted houses as a teen, unsaved, or as a young man unsaved, and you get hecklers and people that are just, you know, mocking or whatever. You don't know them. They don't know you. It's dark. They feel a little bit at liberty. And you're getting people, shh, quiet down. Quit talking. Quit interrupting. What are you? And it's like, then they just get back and forth at it. I tell guys, we're going to have a rowdy group. They came and they got high so that they could have a best scare of their life. They got drunk before so they could have a good scare. And to them, that equals a good time. So you might get some hecklers. Cut through it. Stay focused. Be to the point. And you know what? That has helped people. Of course, there's aspects of dominion and all of those other factors. But make the best use of your time. Right? In a family fun day, it is going to be so fluid and moving. You're in an outdoor event. There's people scattered all over your event. There's face painting booths. There's pictures with the character booth. There's cornhole. There's all these different things going on. You have a band up front. You have people sharing their testimony. You have movement. Maybe if you have food, all of that is fluid. So make the best use of your time. Think about when you should do this. Think about what would make the most sense. Think about your message and how you can get your main point across so that you can see what you want, which is hands raised, people responding. Finally, our passage says, understand. Understand, this is part of preaching wisdom. When you go into it with some understanding about how this is going to work the best, that's now wisdom. Wisdom is knowledge applied. I've thought it through. I've got some reference points from previous outreaches that were similar. I think this could be our best approach. So now I'm going to apply that. I'm going to apply that information. That is wisdom. So preaching wisdom, number one. Let's think secondly about preaching themes. Whatever the event you're preaching, no matter the altar call, you need to find a theme. Okay? Or find the theme of what you're doing. And this is true of plays. If you're going to preach an altar call after a play, what was the theme? Or what was a theme you can extract from it that you can preach on? On a movie, where you're going to be having our plaza outreaches coming up. In those movies, you can't re-preach the whole movie. You can't re-preach every part of it. Pull a theme and preach that theme. Any outdoor event you're doing, find a theme. When you find your theme, focus on that. You don't have to preach every possible idea, angle of salvation, Genesis to Revelation. If you identify one aspect of the gospel and stay narrow to that, inform your gospel arrow, whatever that is, it's going to help you, because themes are what makes preaching clear. Themes are what makes preaching clear. They enable you to stay focused, number one, in distracting settings, right? When everything's swirling and this kid's running here and that guy's making faces and, you know, all the different things that are happening, but your theme, you can stay focused. Distractions can be happening around you, but you know your theme, you know where you're headed. So that greatly helps your preaching to be clear and for you to stay focused. Whether that distraction is noise, whether that distraction is activity. You know, I was thinking about this. Whether that distraction is Prescott Valley wind at Mountain Valley Park. Right? It's, I mean, there's so many things. Whether that distraction is children or the outdoor elements. But when you have a theme, you capture the listener's ear. Something that continuously is maybe highlighted or repeated. And they can focus on what you're saying. And your every word is now deliberate. You're not just throwing religious ideas around. You're not just throwing gospel ideas around. You're not just speaking Christianese. You're thinking it through. You're sticking with the theme. And even if your listener is in and out of your altar call, they're tracking with you. Because in and out of it, they, oh, okay, he's still referencing that. Or it's, and it's applying to them, and they're finding themselves in it no matter what. That is the power of a theme. Verse 17 in our passage, our main verse that we read, says, understand what the will of God is. What theme would minister the best to this particular event or this particular audience? Like I said, is preaching wisdom. Think it through. Where would it fit? And on top of that, what would fit the best? What theme would incline their ear to the salvation message? And you need to work this out in advance. You need to think it through in advance. I remember in one of the basketball tournament outreach that we did, and I've been part of many before when we were here in Prescott, you know, as a disciple concert director, but then just throughout the Northeast. And one of the best altar calls I've ever heard at a basketball tournament was Nathan Mayans. And, you know, we did the opening ceremony, that whole thing. And then when he began to preach and share this story of a basketball player and the diagnosed with cancer and all this, and immediately every, because it was a current story, every basketball player that was there just immediately, and they're looking around, oh, that was rough, you know, and they're connecting with his story. And then he makes the application. This is like you and I, and they're just tracking. I think we had 9 hands raised right away, like 13 or 14 pray right off the bat. Because it was strategic, because it was thought through, because it flowed, it worked. Now, sometimes you can't work that out in advance, but it doesn't change the reality that you have to think. Pastor Greg used to tell us all the time, if you're going to be a man of God, you need to learn how to think. And when an event is happening that you haven't been able to in advance work out certain things, like a play, you've never seen it before. A movie, you've seen it a million times, but you've never preached afterward. And now you are gonna. You're like, what do I preach? What is this about, you know? You only know the one-liners you've mocked for your entire church kid life. But now you've got to preach off of it. So if you can't work it out in advance, then you need to be able to identify it in real time. So how do you develop that? Well, you can do this right now. Try doing this in a regular concert scene. What were some things last night that was like not planned, but a string of connection that you can extract from the night and preach off of that? Your audience has just heard it. Your audience has just tracked with you the whole night. What could you pull out? What could be applied? You can do this at the Plaza Outreaches coming up. Devin's going to be the one preaching those altar calls. But if you were preaching, what would you preach? If you were preaching and thinking, man, at the conclusion of this, we know an altar call's coming. Guests don't, visitors don't, but we know an altar call's coming. What would I preach? At any of our outreaches that we're going to be doing, we have a number of them coming up. If it was you behind that mic, what would you preach? You can develop this now. What are some themes that stand out to me? And there might be more than one. There might be more than one that occurs to you. You don't have to preach all of them. What if I preached one of them? And your theme, finally, could be the redeeming element of an event. Say that again. Your theme could be the redeeming element of an event, especially if things didn't go as smoothly as planned, right? Sometimes you can map it all out. You can work every single detail out. You can, you know, naturally, this would fit, this would work, but then the wind topples over, you know, your main event. But then your main, help got sick, whatever it is. So many factors can change and these curveballs of life that just happen. So, but you have a theme and you preach that theme and you preach it with authority and clarity and dominion, and you've prepared spiritually, and it just connects and it hits with people. It hits with them, and there's nothing like getting those reports afterward. Man, I felt like you were just talking to me. But God was moving through it because you prepared in advance and your theme kept you focused. Let's close. Let's talk about making the best. So when you think it through in advance, you will be able to make the most of your event. Number one, of course, you will be prepared. When you have a clear understanding of what you are doing, that communicates. That translates over. When you know your altar call theme in your illustration, it connects. When you understand it, I've asked guys at different times, you know, so tell me in one sentence, what was your theme in application? Well, I was thinking, you know, and it's fuzzy to them. Well, that's why it was fuzzy to the audience, right? Because you didn't understand it. When you have clear understanding, it makes your message clear. When you have worked things out in advance, now you can give clear instruction to those that are helping you. Hey, you ever come to those outreaches? What can I do? I don't know. I don't even know what I'm doing. You know, it's like, that doesn't help those that are there to help support you. But you'll be prepared. Secondly, you will be confident. There's something about preparedness that gives you confidence. Anyone ever started a new job that it was not just a new in what you already knew how to do or what to do, it was entirely new. And when it's entirely new and you don't even know where the bathroom is, right? You don't know where, if you have locker rooms, where that is. How do I do? And it just, you lack so much confidence. But once you get it down, there's confidence. You know what you're doing. You know where to go. You know, et cetera, et cetera. So when you're prepared and you understand some things in advance, you're going to have confidence. You're going to be able to declare with boldness and all the other mechanics we've already discussed. Thirdly, you will be clear. In clarity, people will be able to follow you. And then fourthly is you will be effective, which is what we all want to be. You will be effective. You will be able to, as our scripture says, make the best. Make the most. Get the best because you've put in the hard work. Now, let me just, with all of that, say this. There might be some duds. Okay, when it comes to outreaches, there's so many things we try. You can map it all out, work it all out. At the end of the day, there might be some dud outreaches. That doesn't mean he wasn't prepared, clearly, you know, or something must be wrong in his heart because, you know, sometimes just it's what happens. That's okay, because I would rather you try than not. Okay, I want you to capture that. I'd rather you try something than not. I'd rather you step out than not. And there might be some learning things in there. There might be some things to correct. That's fine. But don't let the worry of a possible dud, because at the end of the day, none of us want to be the dud, right? Even as ministers, we don't want to be the dud service, you know? It's just, but try. Step out. And this will help you analyze why didn't it work. Because not only should we be thinking before the event, not only should we be thinking during the event, but we should also think afterward. Why didn't it work? What can we do differently? Because it's a good idea. It drew hundreds of people. But why didn't it connect, right? Or if it did work, why did it work? And how can we replicate this? How can we make it more effective? How can we get those that prayed into church? How do we, right? You're always thinking through and working things out so you can make the best. Okay. Let's open it up for some questions. Yep, David?
You mentioned family fun days. I think one of the challenges we've had with those is capturing people's attention long enough to pull an altar call and getting them to hear it. What would you do if you were preaching a family fun day? How would you strategize for that?
Well, if you're seeing what hasn't worked, then you got to think, why didn't it work? So that depends, David. Were they long-winded? Were they doing illustration, application, declaration, appeal? Trying to capture someone's attention in that atmosphere for 15 minutes is going to be extremely difficult. So you've got to find themes, you've got to find ideas that would connect. And again, in a family fun day, on average, how many altar calls would be pulled? Just, I'm asking. Four? Yeah, somewhere in there. Okay. 3 to 4. Yeah. So at the end of the day, right, you're not going to preach probably the same thing every time. But if you have some altar calls kind of worked out, some themes kind of worked out. So let me ask you, what would be some themes that would apply to a family fun day? John?
Well, like Easter, you could go back on a story of your own or a story of somebody else, you know.
Sure. Yeah, and that's possible. But the story's got to be captivating, intriguing, and good delivery, right? Sure. If you're going to tell a story, and depending on how long it is. If it's riddled with details, it's not going to help you. Yeah? Matt?
Just searching for something, use the idea. We're looking for the eggs. We're looking for things in life.
Okay.
We're all searching for things.
Okay, so here's an idea. Searching for something. Right? So if in the vein of Easter, right, it's not the only family fun day we do, but yeah, in the vein of Easter, searching for something. Maybe you're out here, you're searching for something. I'm not talking about eggs. Maybe some, you're searching for fulfillment. You're searching for satisfaction in life. You're searching for money, career, status. You say things like that. There's people there. They are searching. That's an innate thing, right? Good. What else? Yeah, Caleb?
Object lessons.
Okay, that's possible. Again, but it's got to be super, super in the time of it, right? Unless it's your main thing, right? I've seen there's a outreach where the magic show was the main thing, and the guy kind of worked it through and at the end pulled an altar call, but all the attention and audience was there, and it was just part of the show, and he did one more trick afterward, and it was probably a 12 to 15 minute show with the altar call. So think about that. That's very narrow span of time, but that is possible. Object lessons or things like that. Yeah. What else? What other themes?
What about family?
Okay, like what?
God wants you in his family.
Okay, that's possible. Yeah. Is if you were going on that angle of abandonment or neglect, there is someone who wants you, and that can connect with a lot of different people. Yeah. You had something, Phil?
Just say what he said.
Okay,
to me.
Yeah.
Broken families.
Or broken families, right? And in broken families, you can use that word to capture their attention, but what's the Bible word that heals broken families? Adoption, yeah, sort of, but I think that would connect more with Kenny's. Restoration. God can restore some things. God can heal some things. So anyway, that's to answer your question, David, right? You've got to analyze why something didn't work. And maybe it was not a very clear, narrow theme. All of those are narrow. And it sticks to the point, and you can declare that in just a few minutes and apply the gospel and pull an altar call. But maybe, like I said, they were long-winded or they had a story riddled with details. In the chaos of a family fun day, that's not your best approach, right? Yep, good question.
So in average altar call in the 180s, about 10 minutes, with a crowd of children, should it be much shorter or the same?
You have to gauge it, Tony, and it really just depends, but probably gonna be more like 5 minutes, right? To heads bowed, it's quick. You know, because there's so many distractions, you know. We were joking about this the other day, just, you know, in those super fairy tale altar calls, you know, you have balloons making noise, you've got kids, where did Cinderella go? Hey, what happened to Batman? You know, just all these little things that are happening out there, you know. Is it over? I don't want it to be over. You know, and that was an adult, no. but... So you've got to be able to gauge, and every audience is different. You can't formalize it, which is why you have to have an awareness. You have to have the ability. I often have dealt with men on this that do plays or bands that write songs. We live in the TikTok and YouTube short generation, right? They're flipping through a new video every 6 seconds, 15 seconds. So, okay, I'm sorry, you're writing 5 minute songs for your band, you're gonna get what I call crowd fatigue. You're preaching for 15 minutes, you're gonna get crowd fatigue. Your play, okay, it's your play, you're proud of it, but you gotta be aware of crowd fatigue. When do I pull the trigger on this and get to my altar call? How do I do that effectively? And some of that's gonna come with experience, Tony, but then some of that's just a people skill. And when you can recognize and identify crowd fatigue, you'll know when to maybe wrap up your altar call or, you know, whatever the case. So you have to just be aware of that. So probably going to be closer to 5 minutes in your particular question, but you might have a different crowd. They're more reserved, you know, they're more attentive, they're more quote unquote disciplined, you know, it just depends. Yep. Yep. Kenny?
Let's say you have a theme on your altar call, you know you're going to preach short, be appropriate for your audience. When you're looking out to the audience before you preach, what factors would actually change how you preach? Like, what are you looking for in the audience? Let's say you got like one more song or two more songs, and you look at the audience, what would change
it? Well, you feel when an audience is checked out. You feel when they pull out, right? They might be into it at first, but then when they're like, okay, well, they're doing the hook again for the 15th time. You know, I think we're done, right? You have to, it's an awareness, Kenny, more than anything. You feel it in the atmosphere of the room. That's the point. You feel it in the atmosphere of the room. And so you've just got to be attentive to that. And so they lose enthusiasm, right? Mm-hmm. People start checking out, they start getting up and standing at the back or, you know, going for, if you have refreshments, another refreshment. You know, just, you start getting movement because they're getting uneasy. They're losing interest, right? So that's very important. You just got to recognize. Yep. Pastor Hart.
Would you say at times there's such an anointing that a man just needs to begin to pulse and, you know what,
like before the quote-unquote end or scheduled time? Yes, absolutely. You must be aware and sensitive. I think it was last Plaza Outreach's last year, if I remember right, Anthony pulled an early altar call before the movie ever went. You know, there was just a big crop of visitors. They were locked in to the testimonies. He pulled the altar call. I don't remember if it was 5 or 7 that responded. Right then and there. So you, yes, be sensitive to that. You might have, you know, in a family fun day or something, you know, outdoor, a block party, song, testimony, song, and then you're getting to your altar call. Maybe that testimony gets replaced with an altar call because you just have dominion. It's happening. It's now, seize the time, and that would be using wisdom, right? You have an awareness, and you're able to, because you've planned in advance, be able to say, hey, let's just change that, and I'm going to preach next, right? Yep.
Would you say it would help guys to stay in theme if they're pulling an altar call for a play, to maybe attend like a dress rehearsal or speak?
Yeah. No, definitely, if you can, for sure. Any of the theatrical things that I've done, especially when we have a wide range of altar call preachers, I've invited them to come watch it and then even given them some possible themes. You know, this is what this is about. You know, anything I write has a scripture attached to it, and it's always evangelistic. My scriptures attached aren't, you know, oh, this is good to a Christian. It's good to a sinner, and you can preach off of it. You can declare off of it. So, yes, if you can. But then sometimes you can't, you know. It just doesn't work out for whatever reason, which is why you develop the skill to extract a theme, a common theme throughout the night that you can pull from. Or if it's even just one theme at the very end, you pull on that. Yep. But definitely, if you can, that's helpful. Yep, David?
You said one of the things that can make or break an outreach could be spiritually preparing for it or preparing for it. Can you go into a little more detail on that?
As far as preparation? Mm-hmm. Yeah, is, well, that involves, I mean, if you're going to do a family fun day, number one, if there's stations, do you have leaders at every single station? Do you have guys lined up as visitors come in who is going to address them and introduce them and get them into the event? If you have food, do you have someone prepping that and helping you delegate that? If you have music, do you have a sound man? Do you have equipment? Do you know where to get that? You know, if you're showing a movie, is the projector there, you know, or whatever it is you're showing it on? There's so many different factors. You've got to think through every single detail, and especially if it's a larger event, that you delegate leadership positions in that, because you just can't do it all. You cannot be in every single place at every single time. And so you've got to work it out in advance. All of the details from start to finish, from setup to tear down and clean up, are there people in place? Do I have it all worked out? Then, that's just that. Then in your event, what are we doing and how will it flow? And you've got to think that through. So every single concert on any given weekend, we have people in leadership roles that are going to be in their places and they know when they need to be there. But then the concert director is putting out a schedule of each night. That now, the sound men, the bands, the drama team, those testifying, refreshment, everybody that's involved with the night knows what's going to happen. And when that's prepared and lined out, now we can all flow. We know what's next. Or if a change needs to happen, you know what? We're halfway through the night, but after this video, after this song, I'm pulling the altar call. Now is the time to do that. And then you just pick up where you left off, right? Because it's already prepared in advance. And you're not trying to figure it out. Yep, on the fly. So, yeah. Every detail that's involved with the event and every detail of what you're going to be doing should be worked out. Give you the best possible results. Oh, yes, Daniel.
Related to the kind of off of that, but it's the spiritual preparation for an outreach, what would you recommend for the person leading that outreach?
Yeah, revisit the last lesson. It's all about spiritual preparation. But, you know, to answer the question, if you weren't here, or anyone that wasn't here, you want to pray, obviously. You need to be prayed up, right? Jesus told the disciples, this cannot come out except through prayer and fasting. There's got to be something in you that you can draw from. There's got to be something in you that you can pull from when you're going to be ministering. So prayer and fasting. And you got to lay a hold of God and be specific and deliberate in your prayers about what you want to have happen. What do you want to see, right? And when you do that, number one, you're creating things, Daniel. But then secondly, you're establishing things. When I was in Guam the first night, that Thursday night, it was like, and I was mentally prepared just because of experience. Because the park was just looking empty. So I gave the guys that were helping me very specific instructions. If we have more than, if we don't, then, and if, you know, I'm mapping it out. And it was good. We ended with, you know, there was 2 saved that Thursday night, and I think 8 notable healings or something like that, 6. So going into Friday, personally, Guam didn't make all this investment for that. And God, you want to heal people. And that's how I prayed. God, you were whipped at the whipping post for this. You are a healer. You're Jehovah Rapha. This is what you want to do. I'm not begging you or asking you to help us. God, you're going to do the work. You're going to draw people out. And I prayed that day. I'm applying scripture. I'm spiritually preparing. I'm building my faith. I'm going to specific chapters from Pastor Greg's book, getting it in my ear, getting it in my heart, right? I'm spiritually preparing. That night in the prayer meeting, I had some pastors around me as I'm contending, and I said, God, we will have 15 saved here tonight. We must have 15 saved here tonight. And I'm just declaring that and attaching scripture to it. And that night, we had 15 people saved, right? A good group of visitors, met more notable healings. And that stood out to some of the preachers there. That we heard you say 15 and 15 got saved. And I said, thank God, he hears us. But we've got to get specific with him. And so you've got to get specific about what you want to see. You've got to get specific about what you want to have happen. But that's got to be in you, right? You've got to know where to turn in advance in scripture and how to pray, etc. So develop that. Get in the Word of God. Yep.
Do you also apply that to even like your illustration, your theme, you're asking God?
Absolutely, yeah. Ask him what would fit. Right? There have been times where you preach an altar. I've preached altar calls as a disciple. People are like, that was exactly what I needed to hear. A visitor that came in just heard that little bit. And because God knows. God knows who's going to be there. And God knows what he wants you to say. Right? He can put... That's what one thing I often pray. God, put your words in my mouth. Put your thoughts in my mind. I want to know your will. If you do seek it out, he'll tell you. Right? So he can guide you. Yep, absolutely. Yeah, Devin?
So you mentioned the appreciation that you guys have done in New York.
Yeah.
Can you kind of lay out how that flowed? You said it flowed really nice.
Yeah.
What were some of the things that you guys did to make it flow?
Yeah, so there was a lot of preparation in advance. You know, we organized fire department to bring out a fire truck. We organized with four different... police jurisdictions to bring cars that kids could tour, and we had some parked out there. We set up a huge, it was like Family Fun Day-ish, you know, with jumping castles and different stations, etc. But what we did was we had on the flyer the start time of the honor ceremony, right? So on the flyer it had fun and games, da-da-da, and the time, but then it had honor ceremony at, you know, whatever time that was. And so in that moment, everyone came to the honor ceremony. Everything shut down. We had a nice, you know, little pavilion. We had this beautiful grass area set up, and we invited, I think it was the ROTC, they came and presented the colors, and we said the Pledge of Allegiance. We had a girl sing the national anthem, and then the guy went into just the appreciation, and in that appreciation speech, he pulled an altar call. It flowed. He talked about sacrifice, giving your life in the place of another, and being willing to put yourself in the place of danger for the benefit of another. And that was just a simple gospel application. That was his theme. And then people responded, and then we went from there back into the Family Fun event, and honored, you know, of course, if you're here, you're a serviceman in our local police department, EMS, whatever, please stand, we want to recognize you. And so, yep, and that went a long way, and people were very grateful. Lots from the community came out, made good contacts there, and so, yeah, but the honor ceremony, putting that specifically on the flyer. So then it wasn't like, hey, we have this whole thing, we have all this movement, and then everybody come up, everybody gather together. No, it's we were announcing it. Honor ceremony is going to begin in 10 minutes. Honor ceremony is going to begin in 5 minutes if we could all gather for the honor ceremony. So that was one way, and that was in an outdoor event. El Paso just did one. You can contact their concert director. They did it indoors, but had an incredible response. Many, many that were saved, and many from the police departments that came out for that event. So, yeah, there seemed to be very effective also. Yep. Good. Yes?
When writing an altar call and going into it and preparing, how rigid should it be?
As far as with your theme?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely for me and how I've been taught, Preston, is to be as rigid as possible, because again, that only emphasizes what you're trying to communicate. And it's the difference of a shotgun and a sniper's rifle, right? A shotgun's gonna make some impact, but it's kind of just shelled out. Whereas a sniper's rifle, that's very deliberate, and you can get a pinpoint hit. And so with that, well, you wanna stay as rigid as possible, because it will, the more rigid you are, the more clear it is, right? And the more it's clear to you, the more clear it will be to your audience. And that has been a super big help in my altar call preaching. I know clearly as a disciple, I knew clearly what my theme was. And that filters out so much other fluff that's just not necessary. And then secondly, that has actually helped my preaching, right? When I minister something, often I hear back, it was so clear, I could understand, and they knew exactly what I was talking about. And so that will help you, yep, greatly, to stay very rigid. Good. Very good. Any other questions before we close? All righty. Well, thank you very much, gentlemen. Good questions. And I know we have numbers of outreaches and events scheduled. I want to encourage you to help your fellow disciple. Discipleship is lifting up another man's ministry, helping him. God will help you. Amen. Thank you.